Chapter 2. When Teddy's last letter arrived, gently reminding Isabel that his invitation to visit him was still standing, she happened to have just completed a literary history class on 18th century English writers. It had to be a sign, she told herself. So, before talking herself out of it, and before Frances caught the scent and talked her out of it, she immediately wrote Teddy back, thanked him for his gracious invitation, and accepted. The whole time the letter sat in her mailbox with the red flag up alerting her mailman, Barney, that she had outgoing mail, she wrestled with her decision. More than once when she looked out her kitchen window and saw the flag still up, she stopped herself from running out and grabbing it. But after leashing up Jackpot and Corky to take them for a lunchtime walk, she opened the front door to see that the red flag was down. Barney had come and gone, and Isabel Puddles was going abroad. One of her lifetime dreams, to visit England, was about to come true, and she could hardly believe it. From that day forward, she teetered between excitement and anxiousness. This was the most adventurous thing Isabel had ever done in her life, and she was doing it alone. But Teddy would be waiting for her at the other end, so she knew she was in good hands. When she walked into the hardware, Isabel found Cousin Freddy in a particularly chatty mood while ringing up a customer she didn't recognize. After quietly walking behind the counter and grabbing her red apron, she pulled it over her head, tied it up, and got busy with her ritual straightening of the counter while waiting for Freddy to finish the transaction. "Who was that?" she asked after the front door closed behind the man.
"I have no idea," Freddy answered with an odd lilt in his voice, closing the cash register drawer with a flourish. "How are you today, cousin?" Freddy asked, grabbing her in a bear hug.
After he released her, Isabel looked up at him somewhat suspiciously. "Why are you in such a good mood today, Freddy? I've never seen you so excited about selling a pair of $15 garden shears."
"Oh, it's not that, although 15 bucks is better than a kick in the teeth. I'll tell you why I'm so excited. I just found out Frank has appendicitis. He's going in for surgery in a couple days, and he'll be laid up for the next month or two. Three, knowing Frank."
Isabel was taken aback by her normally kind-hearted cousin's callousness regarding the illness of the stock boy who had worked for him for 2 decades. Despite Frank's never coming close to attaining the status of being a keeper, in her opinion, Freddy continued to keep him. But that was a personnel matter, so she stayed out of it. She knew Freddy must have his reasons for keeping him around, although, again, in her view, there were plenty more reasons not to. Frank was lazy, grumpy, showed zero initiative, and did nothing unless he was asked, and he usually had to be asked twice. And when he finally did do it, he never did it very well, so Isabel or Freddy would end up having to redo it. Freddy once grumbled, "It's like having a milk cow in the barn you have to feed every day, but it never gives you any milk." Isabel thought it was a pretty apt analogy. But what bugged her most about Frank was the man's chronic negativity. Make a passing comment to him about what a beautiful sunny day it was, and 20 seconds later you'd be talking about some uncle of his losing an ear to skin cancer. Still, whatever her personal feelings were, she would never wish serious illness and major surgery on him.
"That's not even the best part,"
Freddy continued gleefully.
"Good Lord, Freddy, listen to yourself. What, are his kidneys failing too? Is that what has you so giddy?"
"Oh, Isabel, stop being ridiculous," Freddy chuckled. "No, not 5 minutes after I got off the phone with Frank's mother who called to share this terrible news."
"The term terrible news is not, as a rule, accompanied by an ear-to-ear grin," Isabel scolded. Freddy took a breath.
"As I was saying, not 5 minutes later, who do you think called but Andy? He wants to come back to work for the summer."
Andy was the college student and stock clerk extraordinaire who had worked at the store the summer before. Not that Frank needed anybody to make him look bad, because he did a pretty great job of that himself. But Andy hammered the final nail into that coffin. Andy knew right where to find that hammer and nail, too, whereas Frank wouldn't be able to tell you what aisle hammers or nails were on.